From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
North Oakland.
Temescal.
Alamo Square.
I live in Noe Valley.
Corona Heights.
Western Addition.
I live in North Oakland, right by MacArthur BART Station.
Coming up, we'll hear why housing can be a particular challenge for college students who've come out of foster care.
They come to me and say, I'm homeless. I've got no place to go tonight. I've all my couch surfing, I've tried everything. There's no place I have to go.
Then we'll meet a high school teacher who turned a simple idea into higher graduation rates for his troubled students.
You come to his class, I'll buy you lunch once a week, every Thursday. And let's just talk. Let's talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's talk about more positive than negative. But let's talk about what is it that's in the way of you living the life that you want to live.
Giving students a leg up, that's today on Cross Currents. This month, the 80-year-old SAT test got a much-needed makeover. College Board President David Coleman says many of the changes are designed to make the college preparation and entrance process more fair and more accessible.
I am proud to announce a commitment by the College Board and its member colleges that every single income-eligible student who takes the SAT will receive 4 fee waivers to apply to college for free.
But for many disadvantaged students, getting into college is just the first hurdle. Take, for instance, college students who grew up in the foster care system. Often they don't have a family to lean on for financial assistance or for a place to stay. At City College of San Francisco, a program called Guardian Scholars offers those students the support they need, especially when it comes to housing. KALW's Rachel Wong has more.
The first time Dijon Lewis was in the news, he was only 11 years old.
So as I go to Google, I type in Dijon Lewis runaway twin, and then me and my sister, we pop up. Well, it says San Francisco police on the lookout for runaway twins.
At the time, Child Protective Services came to take him and his twin sister away from their mother, who he says struggles with drug addiction. But instead of giving themselves up to the state, Lewis and his sister made a run for it. They eventually turned themselves in, and that's how he entered the foster care system. Since then, he's bounced around a lot.
It's hard to live with when you're living with strangers all the time. I just be living with strangers from strangers from strangers and no relatives. But then I know down the road that that wouldn't last forever, so I had to figure out how to, you know, be more independent.
Now, Lewis is 21, and he's still not settled yet. Only a few months ago, things got pretty bad. He lost his apartment and struggled to find a place to sleep.
It was tiring because I was hungry and I didn't want to, you know, like I couldn't go out and get something to eat or go to the bathroom. I felt like, yeah, I kept sleeping on the floor, uncomfortable floors.
It's pretty common for former foster youth to experience homelessness. In one regional study, over a third reported periods of homelessness or couch surfing. But on top of that, Lewis was also a community college student.
But I also kept waking up every day to go to school, even though, you know, I was in my situation.
What Dijon Lewis is trying to do is really hard. Less than half of California's former foster youth even enter community college. And of that population, only about 40% enroll for a second year. Michael McPartland manages a program for former foster youth at City College of San Francisco. It's called Guardian Scholars. He says he's seen firsthand the effects of homelessness on his students.
I can point out pictures on the wall of students that have graduated that all the way up to just within a month of graduating lost housing and thought they'd have to drop out because they had nowhere to go.
Programs like McPartland's are embedded in nearly 45 colleges across California. But many are at universities with on-campus housing, and they might serve a few dozen students. City College's program has 160 students. And like most community colleges, it doesn't have any dorms. So McPartland says he spends a lot of time dealing with housing issues.
For our program, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity.
Things got a little easier when California Bill AB 12 was signed into law in 2010. It extends foster care benefits. They used to stop at age 18, and now they go up to age 21. Still, McPartland says many of these youth can't find housing that's covered by their AB 12 benefits, especially in San Francisco's expensive rental market.
You go find a place for $800 a month in San Francisco, and you're 18 years old, right? The odds of you finding something like that on your own are next to nil.
Students can apply for grants like the Chafee Grant, which is specifically for former foster youth, but the money still runs out, and they often don't have a backup plan.
Our students will tend to come to us, some of them, by the third or fourth month of a term with greater financial need because the grant funds they did receive have mostly been expended. They come to me and say, I'm homeless. I've got no place to go tonight.
So McPartland has to get creative. While his program lacks the funding to cover rent for individual students, it can sometimes cover a student's security deposit. And it will try to connect students with openings. For a while, Guardian Scholars had a relationship with a local residential hotel. Recently, an innovative housing idea came from a 73-year-old volunteer.
Her name is Waureen Lofton. I think she's an angel.
I am the landlady.
Waureen Lofton describes herself as the motherly type. In fact, she's the mother of two grown children and a former foster parent. In 2011, Lofton started volunteering as a mentor with Guardian Scholars. She noticed pretty quickly how much the students struggled with housing. Since she's a real estate agent, she thought maybe she could help.
So I kind of veered away from mentoring into finding housing for the kids.
At first, she found an open room here, an open room there. But in December 2012, she took it a step further. She convinced the owner of a home near City College to let her rent the entire house and then sublet it to four Guardian Scholars students.
I pay the rent up front and they reimburse me. So I'm giving them that leisure time to, you know, get their monies together.
At $600 per room, including utilities, it's affordable for the students. The current tenants work and pay their rent themselves. At first, the whole project was pretty demanding for Lofton, but now...
I'm trying to let them be adults. I had to stop cooking for them. I was cooking. I was going over there cleaning them, showing them how to wring out a mop. And, you know, I said, oh, no, you figure it out.
Some of the tenants have already come and gone, and Lofton has adapted along the way. She says the house is an experiment, so she just does what she feels is best.
Everybody keeps telling me I need to get programs in there so we can have all these people to come in that can do therapy and can consult and da-da-da. But they tell me, Ms. Lofton, that's all I've had all my life was programs. I don't want another program.
Lofton hopes to recruit people to help her expand this model to other homes. Her motivation, she says, is knowing she can make a difference for students who might otherwise become homeless or drop out of school.
Somebody needs to do it. It has to be done.
Not a lot of people believe in foster youth.
Daryl Millette, one of Lofton's tenants, is grateful she's taking a chance on them.
You know, they believe we mess things up more than fix things. And she took it the other way around. She said we fix things more than mess things up. This is the living room.
Okay.
Want to see my girlfriend?
It's a Sunday morning, and Millette is in the living room with a few housemates, including Dijon Lewis. Lewis moved in a few months ago.
I had a long night last night.
The place looks like a typical communal house. There's mismatched furniture and empty bags of Jack in the Box on the coffee table.
I don't know how far Jack in the Box is, but by the time he got here, my food was cold.
A makeshift wall separates the living room and Daryl Millette's bedroom.
I didn't have a door right here. I had a curtain right here, this blue curtain.
Oh. At 30, Millette's a little older than the others, but he's familiar with group living. He grew up in different foster homes in New Orleans from the time he was born.
That's seven different neighborhoods, that's seven different best friends.
After Hurricane Katrina, Millette moved to San Francisco to rebuild his life.
I just remember the little commercials about San Francisco, about Rice-A-Roni and looking at the little trolleys.
Millette plans to complete his associate's degree in cinematography next year. Then he wants to go for his bachelor's at SF State, where he'll probably move into university housing. But for now, he's a house manager here, collecting rent and trying to keep everyone in line.
It's not like a lot of house rules, and it's just enough rules to make sure that everybody is fair, everybody being treated fair.
Millette says being around other Guardian Scholars students has been good for him.
you be dealing with so much pain in the inside, you don't really want to open up to the people. In college has a way of making you open up. We definitely motivate each other. We feed off each other.
Still, he says he really wants his own place. Dijon Lewis does too, though he knows it might not happen for a while.
Hopefully we can live here until we meet our goals in life, until we get on our feet. But it's not this is not like a place we get too comfortable or we call home.
Instead, this is a place where you can start to envision what home could be. In San Francisco, I'm Rachel Wong for Cross Currents.
For more information about the Guardian Scholars or programs like it, go to our website, kalw.org, and click on Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Whether or not they're in the foster care system, many Bay Area young people face a tough time completing educational goals. Statewide high school graduation rates are around 80%, but in some districts, that number is much lower. In Oakland Unified, for example, only about 60% of its seniors graduate. Reasons for those low rates are complex, but solutions don't have to be. An after-school club in Oakland called Ever Forward is using a simple model to try and help students who may be struggling with their schoolwork. The club focuses on creating and achieving specific goals, not just academically, but personally. Reporter Lizzie Schultz explores Ever Forward's approach in this story from our archives.
Next group that goes up, we're going to put everything in the truck and then we'll go up there.
I'm in the halls of Arise High School in Fruitvale. It's a little past four and students are scattered around preparing for their camping trip.
So you packed a bear? Why?
Because, you know, every man needs something to snuggle with.
Carlos Pena, one of the Ever Forward members, says he's excited.
Yes, because we always have fun. I mean, I know it's going to be fun, but sometimes you have to expect the unexpected. So yeah, I don't know what we're going to do this year, but I know it's going to be fun.
This after-school club is going on a one-night camping trip to Lake Chabot, just outside of Oakland. Members from Arise and Fremont High chapters will be spending the night in the woods together with students they may barely know.
It's very new to them.
That's Ashanti Branch. He founded the Ever Forward Club and is in charge of this camping trip.
It's a very new idea to really have people who actually care enough that you would tell them what's going on deeper behind the surface. And so this camping trip is really about the beginning of the year, kind of a connection for the new members and older members to come together to have that community building.
This club has been Branch's passion for the past 9 years. Senior Omar Bernal, president of the club, has been in the program for 4 years now.
The Ever Forward Club is, I could honestly say, it saved my life.
Bernal says he sees Ashanti Branch and the other mentors as father figures.
You feel like they're always there, even when they're not. You know, I always get a call from Ashanti saying, well, what are you doing right now? Shouldn't you be doing this?
Before he joined the Ever Forward Club, Bernal's personal life and academic life were headed in a downward spiral.
I got held back ninth grade because I was coping with my life in negative ways. I was out with friends, never did my homework, and I used to blame it all on the absence of my father because he was never in my life. He was never in mine and my sister's life, so I always used him as an excuse, not having a father figure there showing me what's right or wrong.
Now as a senior in high school, he says the program has helped to shift his thinking in a more positive direction.
Devin and Ashanti made it crystal clear that I'm going to college. You know, no matter what doubt in my head I have, I always let them know that, well, you know, I'm thinking about not going to college. And he's like, well, then you're going to need to change that. You know, whatever it is, we'll make it work.
That can-do attitude is the idea behind the club. Always moving forward, always improving who you can be. Ashanti Branch got this idea around 10 years ago when his job as a civil engineer was not feeding his soul. After finishing his master's at Mills College, he began teaching at San Lorenzo High School.
Teaching mathematics, and I really thought that what students needed was that they needed a teacher who cared and a teacher who was prepared and a teacher who had passion. and I was all those things, but I still had these African-American and Latino boys in my class that weren't passing. And I was like, what's the problem? Like, I'll come early, I'll stay late, I'll buy you lunch. I always got food in my room. Like, what do you need?
Branch started researching and found that 47% of African-American males and 43% of Latino males were failing half or more of their classes. He realized something was wrong.
I'm wanting to reach them, but I can't reach them either. So I said, well, maybe I need to ask them. So I invited some young men together, and I said, look, I'm going to buy you lunch once a week. You come to this class, I'll buy you lunch once a week, every Thursday. And let's just talk. Let's talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's talk about more positive than negative. But let's talk about what is it that's in the way of you living the life that you want to live. And from that, the Ever Forward Club started.
9 years later, the Ever Forward Club has two locations with over 55 members and a few teachers who help coordinate the trips and meetings. Branch is from Oakland, and his life story has been a way to connect with students.
I grew up without a father, from a single mother on welfare. She worked hard to put herself through school so she could provide a little bit better for us, but we were still broke, right? We were still struggling, right? So I'd share them with my story, and I say, you know, my story may be different than yours. You may have it better than me, or you may have it worse than me, but everyone has it better than some and worse than most, right? And how would you decide that? What do you want to do about it? And so for them to know that they can come to me, and no matter what they have done or what challenge they're facing, that I'm not there to judge them, that I'm there to say, so what do you think you should do?
Branch has taught math at both Fremont and Arise High School, but just this year he became a case manager at Fremont. A teacher by day and a mentor during all other hours, the executive director says it has been a struggle to find the funding for the Ever Forward Club.
When you're in the work, I'm in the trenches every day teaching and working at schools, I don't have a chance to go out and mingle with the people who have the money, right? Because I'm teaching the kids.
Branch is not only teaching these students, he is reaching them. Through the weekly meetings, field trips, and college tours, Branch and the rest of his team are making sure students achieve their goals.
And I feel like a lot of youth here in Oakland really need this type of support, you know, positive role models, both women and men.
That's Senior Omar Bernal again. He's realized the benefits of this brotherhood program.
The Ever Forward Club, was really a group of support academically and emotionally, where I realized that I do have goals in life after spending a whole life of saying you're not going to amount to anything. It took me an extra year, but I'm still here, senior year, looking really good to colleges because of the Ever Forward Club and all the different opportunities that it offered me, and just all the different leadership roles that it bestowed upon me that really made me mature for my age.
The question is not if this program works. These students have a 100% graduation rate from high school and 100% are being accepted into college. The question is how the district, as well as the community, can make sure that Ever Forward Club continues to thrive.
Oh, okay. We still have tons of stuff upstairs.
So you have other people there to help?
They're ready to head off on the camping trip. Teachers figure out who is going in which van while students load the small truck, overflowing with sleeping bags and food.
Okay, otherwise, I mean, you don't have room, do you?
These teens are grateful for the opportunities this club has to offer and are full of enthusiasm for the trip ahead. For Cross Currents, I'm Lizzie Schultz.
That piece is from our archives and originally aired in February of 2013. This year, Ever Forward is celebrating its 10th anniversary. A celebration will be held this Thursday, March 20th at the Impact Hub in Oakland from 6 to 9 p.m. For more information, go to KALW.org and click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. And now it's time for another installment of Segment X, Extras from the KLW News Team. This is where our staff members pull back the curtain on radio production to share something extra, odd, interesting, or delightful with you. That last story we heard by Lizzie Schultz came to us through our partnership with Mills College in Oakland. Lizzie's a student there, and she worked with me and Chris Hoff, who has some insight into the outtakes we get when working with student reporters.
So, when you make a story for radio, you've got to record your little narrated bits here in studio, and that is called tracking. And at KALW, it's usually my job as a sound engineer to track you. But, you know, it can take a while. Like, just to produce a 5-minute story, it can take an hour of tracking to get it just right because of all the flubs and mess-ups. You usually don't get to hear those You usually don't get to hear those tracking travesties, but today, you do.
So do I start? Despite the past, I've always been a fan of hip-hop, and particularly female.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I've always been a fan of hip-hop, and particularly...
What are you saying?
So, true, oh, I guess.
Doesn't this sound sort of redundant, though? I say ramp, like, twice.
They're building a ramp. They're gonna roll it down the ramp. They're building a ramp. They're gonna roll it down the ramp.
Got it.
Bernal says he sees Ashanti and the other mentors as father figures.
When will my life... Blah, 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 blah. Sorry.
KLW. Whoopsie.
Now as a senior in high school, he says the program has...
Okay.
Caramba.
Getting teachers off burner... Off who?
Which Principal Brewer attribute...
okay. Learning out... Got it.
That was bad. I can do it again.
Gotcha.
Let me do that again.
Okay, got it.
Should I do that again?
What?
Okay, let me get some water.
Oh, hey, Jessica, I don't think that's been used in forever. I wouldn't use that.
Oh, yeah, it smells stinky.
Yeah, I don't think nobody ever uses that. I didn't even know it had running water.
Okay, okay.
I don't think you want to drink it.
I think I'm okay. Thank you.
Yay!
Great, and then Bree, I want you to say, for Cross Currents, I'm Bree Sharman.
For what?
For Cross Currents.
Cross Currents?
Mm-hmm, that's our show.
Okay. Do you want me to say the whole thing again?
No, just for Cross Currents, okay. I'm Bree Sharman.
For Cross Currents, I'm Bree Sharman.
Great, I like that. Did you like that?
I loved it.
Okay, let's go on. You can find previous editions of Segment X and subscribe to our podcast at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KLW News. The team includes Audrey Dilling, Julie Kane, Leela Day, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Nina Gensler-Debs, Liz Mack, Daphne Matsiaraki, Mary Reese, Chris Hoff, Laura Flynn, and Charlotte Silver. Today's show was produced by Jen Chien and engineered by Seth Samuel. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And because of your support, we can proudly say that we are independent, listener-supported public radio. The music you're hearing now is by the Oakland band Disappearing People. You can check them out at The Parkside in San Francisco on Thursday. Music begins about 9 p.m. All of that information, along with more local music and more local stories, is at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. Get in a while. Get in a while.